This is Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Gavin Dahl. Today we explore the significance of what's called a reverse CORA, an obscure provision in the Colorado Open Records Act that allows a government records custodian to initiate legal action against a requester of public records. Aaron McIntyre and the Ouray County Plain Dealer newspaper requested personnel records about public health workers responding to the COVID-19 pandemic in this case, and Ouray County Administrator Connie Hunt and County Attorney Carol Viner sued in district court. We'll hear from Aaron McIntyre and Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition's Jeff Roberts about how a reverse CORA can prevent a public records requester from recovering attorney's fees, even if a judge finds the records should have been released. The current situation in Ouray County is ongoing, but we do know that a reverse CORA backfired on the town of Paonia just a few years ago. What does all this mean for freedom of the press? Stay tuned here to Local Motion. Jeff Roberts is Executive Director at Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition. Thanks for joining me, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so for listeners unfamiliar, what is the CFOIC? Please describe your work.
Yeah, the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition has been around since 1987. It is a 501c3 nonprofit that educates the general public and Colorado's journalism community about their rights under the open government laws. So that's the two public records laws in Colorado, the open meetings law and court access. And we also do some advocacy for greater government transparency.
And your coalition members include Associated Press, Colorado Bar Association, Colorado Broadcasters Association, Colorado Press Association, Colorado Student Media Association, Colorado Society of Professional Journalists, and many, many, many more. It's quite the laundry list.
Yes. So we serve the journalism community when reporters have questions about these laws and or want some strategies about, you know, what to do if they're denied public records or, you know, a government public body has closed the door for an executive session. Was it proper? We also help the public with these types of questions as well.
Yeah, good point. You don't have to be a journalist to reach out to the CFOIC for help. Aaron McIntyre is co-publisher of the Ouray County Plain Dealer newspaper. Great to have you back on KVNF, Aaron.
Thank you, Gavin.
Your paper got its start in the late 1800s, and you and your husband have run it for 140 years. No, for 2 years now. Is that right?
Well, it depends on if you're asking how long versus how long it feels. Just kidding. We bought it in April of 2019.
And so what day of the week does your paper come out? Where is it distributed in print? And how can KVNF listeners read you online?
Sure. You can always read us online at ouraynews.com. We have newspaper racks throughout the communities in Ouray County and a couple in Montrose County. And then we also come out on Thursdays. So that's Plain Dealer Day. That's what people here in Ouray call it.
And for you, is Tuesday your big deadline day?
Tuesday and Wednesday are pretty rough. Those are like the are we going to make it work days. And then we put out the weekly miracle and it happens again. And it has every week since 1877. So thank goodness.
Well, thank you both for joining me. Obtaining public records with the Colorado Open Records Act request is pretty routine. Aaron, take us back to January 2021. What was going on with Ouray County Public Health that led the Plain Dealer newspaper to file this particular open records request in the first place?
So back at the beginning of January, there was a meeting that involved some county officials, the city of Ouray officials, town of Ridgeway officials, and basically anyone else interested in coordinating the response to the pandemic. They have these meetings fairly regularly, and it's sort of a way for everyone to keep on the same page and know how the response is going. And we ended up asking the county for some disciplinary records and some performance reviews of two county employees, the health department director and the emergency manager, after the county administrator said in one of these public meetings that she was curtailing their hours. But she made it clear she wasn't curtailing their workload. So when other elected officials in that meeting asked some questions, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? She cut off the conversation and basically said, this is a personnel issue. It's really a county personnel issue. And so she shut down the conversation. And we had a lot of questions in that meeting, and so did other people. These two guys, Tanner Kingery is our public health director and Glenn Boyd is our emergency manager. They've been working overtime regularly, no days off for about 10 months. And they've been asking for help that entire time repeatedly at public meetings. It was a bit of a broken record. And to have their work hours potentially questioned this far into the pandemic, it seemed strange at the time. So we had questions and we sought those records to answer those questions.
You published an editorial February 10th laying out the situation. And one of the things you made clear is this reporting by the plane dealer was never about questioning the performance of Tanner Kingery or Glenn Boyd from the newspaper standpoint. You quoted, for example, Ridgeway Mayor John Clark saying at an earlier public meeting, the two had been, quote, working their frickin' tails off. So let me ask you to reflect, you know, as a journalist, but also just as a resident on the effort put forth combating COVID by public health officials in Ouray County.
Well, it just didn't add up because these two employees had been leading the county's response to the pandemic. And it seemed like, you know, it wasn't clear to us, but it seemed like maybe they were being reprimanded in some way. And when public officials call things personnel issues, I mean, it's a way to avoid further questions sometimes, even if it truly isn't a record that should be part of a personnel exemption. And so we had a lot of questions, and that's why we asked for those public records. We just wanted to understand why 10 months into this are you saying that their hours are being curtailed? Because this whole time, I mean, these guys had racked up like 800 hours of overtime in that period of time during the pandemic. So why wait until you're like 800 hours in with your overtime to say something?
You begin your column from February 10th. In this business, we ask a lot of questions. It's kind of our job. And I feel like, you know, there's this kind of charming story of the couple, they fall in love, they buy the small town newspaper, they want to keep it going and live up to the traditions. But asking questions has not always, you know, resulted in the easiest of situations for you guys in these last 2 years. We had you on last year to talk about a local business owner who wasn't happy with the paper's coverage of their noncompliance with some county health issues. Obviously, this is a place where law enforcement mostly declined the vaccine, then suffered a COVID outbreak, where the ex-sheriff has allegedly been a repeat DUI offender. It seems like in this particular case, you're just doing your job. You're asking questions. How, Aaron, did the county respond to your request?
Well, they refused to give us the records. And it was a pretty simple response, which was, there's a reason that they're called personnel records. These are private. You cannot have them. And their position is the records that we requested are part of the employee's personnel files, and they're exempt from being released under the Colorado Open Records Act. But after they refused to give us the records, they petitioned a judge to make a decision about whether they're prevented from releasing them, naming me as a defendant. And we disagree because judges have previously ruled that the personnel exemption should be applied very narrowly, which I know Jeff can speak more expertly on. But basically, they just said, no, we're not giving it to you. And we didn't accept that response, and we wanted to move forward with getting those public records.
County attorney said the release could, quote, do substantial injury to the public interest. At what point did your newspaper decide to hire First Amendment lawyer Steve Zansberg, who we should say is also president of the board of CFOIC?
You know, we had consulted with Steve. We're members of CFOIC, and he's been a long respected attorney and an expert on freedom of information issues in not only Colorado, but the region. So the fact that Steve was interested in our case was really fantastic for us. And initially, he had written a letter for us trying to convince the county to release the records, citing the decision in some previous court cases and providing some case law for them to review. But when they still would not consider releasing the records, that's the point where Steve agreed to take on our case and fight for the release of the records. So that happened in late January, early February, and now here we are.
That's Aaron McIntyre, co-publisher of the Ouray County Plain Dealer. My other guest on the show today is Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition Executive Director Jeff Roberts. We should add positions taken by the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition do not necessarily represent the positions of each member organization. And for full disclosure, KVNF is a member of the CFOIC through our participation in the Colorado Broadcasters Association. So, Jeff, can you explain how Ouray County can bring this civil action filed by County Attorney Carol Viner under the Colorado Open Records Act's safe harbor provisions that makes the county government the plaintiff and turns the newspaper into the defendant?
Right. So I want to back up just a little bit and say that in the hotline that we run about Colorado Open Records Act and the law enforcement, about law enforcement records and the open meetings law, I'd say the two most common questions I get are about the cost of public records and this personnel files exception in CORA, which Aaron has been dealing with. So this is a pretty common denial that we have to fight. And Aaron's right that the courts, the Colorado Court of Appeals twice now, has very narrowly construed this personnel files exception in CORA to mean really a public employee's what they called personal demographic information. So something in the nature of their home address, their home phone number, their personal financial information. It's not records related to their job performance in their official capacity. So the CORA includes the mandatory awarding of attorney's fees if the person suing for public records or wrongful denial prevails. And the reason that's in the law is so that the law can be enforced. Otherwise, it would be a pretty weak law. We don't have an administrative appeals process in Colorado like some other states have. We don't have some agency that can be the arbiter of these types of disputes. And so when someone believes they were wrongly denied public records, they have to sue, or else they don't get nothing happens. There is this mandatory awarding of fees provision, but there's one provision in there that says that if a records custodian, like the county clerk, in good faith cannot determine whether records must be released, they can actually go to court to get that question answered. And if they truly were, you know, in good faith did not know, they don't have to pay those attorney's fees. And so in this case, Aaron was denied the records initially, and then the county went to court. So that's the question now of whether the county can use what's called that safe harbor provision.
Because they were denied before they sought a judge's opinion.
Right. And also in this case, Steve Zansberg, the attorney and the president of our board, had in his initial letter to the county had listed several court rulings where, you know, to back up the argument. And when the county attorney replied to this, only referenced one of those decisions. And so it wasn't a really complete answer. So it will be interesting to see whether that ultimately will apply, that safe harbor provision, which is really the only enforcement mechanism in CORA.
And so this is taking place in district court. What's the jurisdiction on this issue?
It's district court. Yeah. So if it involved a state matter, a state agency, you'd have to apply in Denver District Court, but otherwise it's the district court in your area.
So journalism advocates say reverse freedom of information lawsuits can have the impact of chilling records requests and therefore press freedom. Jeff, back in 2018, you wrote about a reverse CORA backfiring on the town of Paonia. A judge at the time ruled that the town invoked the Open Records Act's safe harbor clause improperly. Can you remind us of what happened in that instance?
Yeah, this case involved a former town trustee, Bill Brunner. I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. Had requested some records from the town about a town employee who had been injured on the job. And he was concerned about this, the way the town had treated this case, and wanted to get the records, and was initially denied the records as well, just like in Aaron's case. And the town invoked that safe harbor clause. To get out of its financial obligation, or at least that's what it appeared to be. And that's how the judge saw it. So the judge not only said that he was entitled to the records that he requested, but that the town had improperly invoked the safe harbor clause, and he was entitled to those attorney's fees and court costs.
Now, that was a different district court judge than we're currently facing in this case between Ouray County and the Plain Dealer. Is that right?
I think so.
Different judge, but theoretically the same precedent. Aaron, you wrote about the Paonia case in your editorial in the Plain Dealer too. Is there anything else you'd like to add about why it could be relevant here from your perspective?
Well, I think one of the reasons that we cited that ruling was to show that it is relevant here in our judicial district. Paonia is in Delta County. Ouray County is in the same judicial district. So if there are any questions about whether or not something like this has been ruled on in our judicial district, yes, it absolutely has.
And there have been some other recent examples of reverse CORA or similar actions in Colorado. About 5 years ago, Basalt, the town, sued a resident who wanted to see deleted text messages sent between the mayor and the town clerk. It also happened to Nine News in Denver when two unions tried to block the release of complaints and disciplinary action against public school bus drivers. They weren't successful. Apparently, these kinds of things aren't happening all the time, but isn't helping news outlets with this sort of technical stuff exactly what the Colorado Freedom of Information the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition is for?
It is. That is a big part of our job. And when reporters like Aaron have questions about this, we try to give them the arguments, the ammunition that they need to fight back against this. And as Aaron said, and actually as you said, that these types of lawsuits, especially if they're not done appropriately, can have a chilling effect on journalism, potentially, because no one expects to find themselves in court just for making a public records request.
So, Aaron, there's more to this story. Kingery and Boyd decided to release the records to the Plain Dealer in mid-February after reading your column, I suppose. What reporting was the paper able to do based on getting a hold of these personal records after all?
You're correct. The employees did decide to release their own records, the records that the county refused to release and said that they were keeping private, partially to protect the employees themselves. So we were able to report using those records that Glenn and Tanner had worked an outrageous amount of overtime during the pandemic. And in fact, they were written up in December before the end of the year. They were put on improvement plans, which are usually used in HR departments to document some sort of deficiency and, make a plan for someone to improve or,
work harder.
or lay the groundwork for, potential dismissal for cause. That's what improvement plans are used for generally. So we were able to report that these guys, in fact, were written up for working too much without permission during the pandemic, in which they had asked repeatedly for assistance and didn't receive it. So, yeah, that's what the record said.
In terms of what else you were able to report, your reporter Liz Teitz was able to put out a story on February 18th that the improvement plan took place. So it seems like you guys have gotten to the bottom of this question that came up from, just paying attention to public meetings, trying to give your readers what's going on. And then to the surprise of many, the head of public health and the emergency manager handed over the records themselves. They just said, hey, we think that the paper should have these. You were able to report on them. So you got the records you wanted. You did the reporting. Is the story over?
No, I mean, we're still in court. It's still up to the judge. Although we were able to get the records from the employees themselves, who pretty much just want to move on with their jobs. I mean, these guys have enough to worry about with getting the whole county vaccinated and continued testing. And, this pandemic isn't over. So they still have plenty to worry about. They just want this over with. So they handed over the records that they didn't have a problem with people knowing about. But because we didn't obtain those records from the actual records custodian, which is the county administrator, Connie Hunt, in this case, it doesn't mean the county complied with the law. And we maintain that those records should be open to the public. So that is really up to the judge to figure out. And we do have a hearing scheduled later this month. But in the meantime, I just think it's really important that our reporting was able to show that, in fact, Connie Hunt did discipline her employees for working too much. And we felt it was really important for the public to know that this is how county employees are being treated. When your management style is, taking employees that had overtime and writing them up during a pandemic, we think the public deserves to know that.
Jeff, before we go, is there anything else that you think listeners need to know about this case? This seems like, on principle, it's bigger than one newspaper and one county official.
Right. So, I mean, the outstanding issues are like what Aaron said, should they have released the records? Should the county have released the records? And we think the answer is yes.
And to be fair, Jeff, don't reporters sometimes ask for things that the government has a right to decline? I mean, there's certainly cases where a journalist asks for something, the government says no, and that's within their right.
Right. And the open records law is written in such a way that it is designed to balance those interests. Mm-hmm. There are certain records that are enumerated in the Open Records Act that government entities cannot release. A student's educational record, for instance, unless it's released to the parent. There's a list of other records that a government entity has discretion to release or not if they determine that disclosure could be contrary to the public interest. But for most public records, there is a presumption of openness, at least in the Colorado Open Records Act. And it's written that way for a reason, because the public has a right to know what their government is doing, except for very limited circumstances. And so the other issue is really that safe harbor provision we were talking about, and whether attorney's fees and court costs ought to be awarded in this case, and how and to what degree, whether the county should be able to escape having to pay those costs or not.
Well, we will see what happens. You mentioned, Aaron, there's a court date set for later in March. And obviously, people can tune in to uranews.com to keep up to date with your reporting and with the latest developments. I will be reaching out to the county for comment now that we've wrapped up our conversation to offer them the opportunity to speak to this. Is there any other message, Aaron, that you want to share with the public about, how you think people should be thinking about these questions? You know what I mean? It seems like there's a side of we've watched newspaper jobs disintegrate across the country for all these years. Sometimes we in the press don't do enough to sort of stick up for ourselves because we are focused on serving our readers, our listeners. But is there a message that you have for the public here, about the value and the role of your operation?
When we bought the Plane Dealer, we said that one of our reasons was we believe that even small places deserve good journalism. And part of that is being a watchdog of sorts and keeping an eye on local government and making sure that public business is done in public. And so we're going to keep fighting that fight. If people think that we have an agenda here, yeah, we do. The agenda is the truth. That's always going to be our agenda. So we're always going to advocate for sunshine where it needs to be. And we're going to keep an eye on local governments. And as long as they keep violating CORA, we're going to keep going to court. So I would advise them to read up on what the law is and start following it now, because this is going to be a broken record.
Aaron McIntyre is co-publisher of the Ouray County Plain Dealer newspaper, online at ouraynews.com. And Jeff Roberts is the executive director of the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition, online at coloradofoic.org. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm news director Gavin Dahl. This interview was recorded on Monday, March 1st. Immediately after it concluded, I emailed Ouray County Administrator Connie Hunt and the county's attorney, Carol Viner, requesting an interview or written statement. I made clear that the program would air for the first time on March 2nd and that KVNF would like to include comments or a statement from either of them. I received no reply more than 24 hours after the request, approaching the airtime for this program. KVNF News is, of course, open to hearing their side of this story. According to a Ouray County Courthouse staffer reached by phone, the case Hunt v. McIntyre is set for a status conference, either by phone or at the courthouse, on March 18th at 9 a.m. If you'd like to read more about today's show, you can find links on the homepage of our website, kvnf.org. Thanks for listening.